from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What a wonderful time we're having. We're all in trouble, including Petra, because apparently we've not taken this show seriously enough up to now. Well, I think we have. No. It's been very serious. And let's take a serious story to begin with, and that's that the BBC are in tune with sub-40-year-old viewers. Not. That's Eric's headline on this story. I don't really understand it. But what he's saying, what's happened is that the BBC have decided to make the channel BBC Three an online service. Well, first of all, I think that does a disservice to the BBC generally and to the British population. The BBC Three is probably one of the only interesting channels that the BBC manages to put out, and now they're making it a digital service, which Eric would argue that that's a magical thing because it will extend the amount of people who will view it and listen to it and take it on board. But I think what's happening with the BBC, you'll have to excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to have a cough. Excuse me.
Oh, gee, you better not get sick.
I've got what he's got, but I'm here.
You mean man's flu?
I've got worse than man's flu. I've got terrible things happening to me. Did I tell you about when I stuck that tree in my eye?
Yeah, you did. Should we get back to the story?
Oh, it's yeah. But the BBC are just messing about with everything, and destroying it, like getting rid of the World Service. You would know about the World Service, Rachel, wouldn't you? Because that's the only way you'd really got into the BBC.
Yeah, that's right. The only BBC we see is your news coverage, which is
very good.
It's kind of ordinary. And the other news service we get of yours is Sky News when ours finishes for the night because we've all gone to sleep.
And Sky,
we then get yours through the night. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know what concerns me about this. I'm just reading the article. It seems to me that they're getting rid of everything that everybody's watching.
Absolutely. So that's what I said.
Why would you do that? I mean,
because
even Matt Lucas has weighed in on this. This is pretty interesting. He said that it would be really bad. That was his quote.
For news comedy. He was put on the spot and just couldn't think of anything to say. So, hey, it's really bad.
Matt Lucas, or it's really bad. And, you know, Family Guy fans are all upset. I can understand that. I'm a Family Guy fan. And do you know what? You know, I'm 43 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, Rachel, you're not that old, are you?
I thought you were only just about 20.
I thought you were only about 20.
In my Facebook photo, I'm about 27. But anyway, moving on. But I don't watch online stuff. I don't want to sit in front of my computer and watch television. I don't want to do it. I want to sit in front of my television and watch television. So when they start diddling around with channels on the cable service and free-to-air and everything else, it annoys me. I don't want to sit in front of it. And you know what Rob says? He said, plug your laptop into the television. I'm like, I don't want to. I just want to. You don't understand. And then we have a thing and then, you know. But I really understand how people are upset about this. I do.
I do as well. Is here, Petra, this is a question for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. but Rachel can answer as well, and I probably will anyway.
I'm actually worried.
No, seriously.
Just do what Matt Lucas does. Answer really bad.
Do you think that television is the worst thing ever perpetrated on the population of the world? Is television more dangerous and more damaging to the psyche of the universe than the internet is?
No.
Why?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Well, if I think about my kids, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
When they use internet, they can do whatever they want, read whatever they want. But on TV, you sort of can control it. I know you can control it on the internet as well, but...
Yeah.
You're right.
Sorry, Rachel, carry on.
No, Petra's quite right. And because you've got the luxury of, the way our cable TV works and now the digital TV, you can parental lock stuff and whatnot. But the other thing too is that it's not interactive. So I think it's more damaging when you think about cyberbullying and everything else that goes on and people interacting in horrible, nasty ways with each other. I think that the internet's way more damaging if used incorrectly.
There is only one thing I don't like, and that's commercial breaks when you're watching a good movie.
That's so annoying.
Oh, yes.
So annoying. Pet peeve of mine. Pet peeve. Do you know, I record everything. So that I don't have to watch.
So you have to wait. Yeah, well, what I do,
like
I channel
fast hop. Forward through.
Yeah, I channel hop through adverts, but they've caught onto it. They've caught onto the fact that people
they
like
all have them at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
And they're 10 times as loud as the actual program.
That's yes.
true as well.
Thank you. It's like, wake up, buy this.
Oh, time to make coffee or go and have a beer.
I know. Oh, here's another boring story. Let's do another boring story.
Okay.
Gary Barlow, right, that famous little fatty who's on telly all the time and can't sing and has no wit and humour and thinks he's a Victorian god who stands there like this big Burslem Victorian gentleman looking down on the hoi polloi, has teamed up with loads of English footballers, including the man who now sells crisps. The only reason he sells crisps is because his ears stick out like he's put a pair of crisps on his head. Right? And they've now gone to record an anthem for the World Cup. How wonderful is that? Gary Barlow at the World Cup. Do we care? No! Let's move on to the RoboCop.
Okay.
This is an amazing story, isn't it?
This is a bit stupid.
It is.
It's you kind of shrug and say, huh?
why pay him so much? Why pay him so much? £120,000 a year to look after Silicon Valley. I'd do it.
I mean,
wouldn't you?
I know I would do it because I think the only people that are going to try and attack you in Silicon Valley are nerds with massive, you know, with pen, you know, pocket protectors. And I shouldn't say that. That's terrible. There's a lot of really valuable stuff sitting in Silicon Valley, so it kind of makes sense. But I'm confused as to why there's so much bounty.
That's an incredible. What if Petra? Mm-hmm. If you or your chap earned £120,000 a year in Poprad, mm-hmm. what sort of lifestyle would you have?
Oh, luxurious.
Would it? Really? Would £120,000 a year make you feel like you were a millionaire?
Yes.
Right. In America, it's not an outrageously big salary, but it's quite phenomenal for the copper, should they earn that much? I can't see why, because it keeps them away from corruption and everything. But that is a what would it mean to you if you had £120,000 a year in Australia, Rachel?
£120,000.
That'd be about $180,000 Australian dollars.
Well,
in Slovakia, it is like 3.6 million.
Really?
Yeah.
So you do have an income of that much?
Yeah. Well, Rob does. Yeah, by himself.
Really? Does that mean he's rich? Does that mean he's well off?
No. By no means. We're in debt. We've got a mortgage. We've got a $500,000 mortgage. We've got very expensive car and everything else. But I think it's all relative.
Well, that's what I was trying to find out. In Britain, £120,000 would mean that you could live pretty well.
It's comfortable, but we're not, you know, we can't afford for me not to work.
That's it. So you've got, on that kind of money, you've got to have, your partner has got to have a job as well to make ends meet. That's amazing. Well, see, what frightens me that is I'm coming out there. I've already got a tenner.
I think you guys are actually just as expensive as we are, and then the other places are, you know, pretty cheap. But the thing is, like, we own our property and we have a mortgage, but we also rent where we are now. We pay $750 a week for the house we rent. So
$750 a week
in Darwin is the most expensive city. People get paid a lot of money to come and work here because it's a very difficult climate to work in, particularly what Rob does. He's outside all day, every day. And we're talking 35 degrees and 98% relative humidity most of the time. So it's a really hard, harsh environment to work in. People
so
don't
it's quite inhospitable, really.
It's very, it's godforsaken. And they
really
have
solid Australia to me, you know.
Well, the Northern Territory, again, you're not coming to the Northern Territory, so don't worry. But it's a really, it's a very transient population here as well. And so they have trouble getting people to stay. So they offer a lot of money, but then they charge a lot of money to live here. So it's a very expensive place to live. Like our place on the Sunshine Coast is just as big and as nice as this place, but we would only rent for $4.50 a week.
Right, I see. That's still a lot of money, isn't it? I know it's like I've been checking things out, which, you know, men do on when it's Men's Day. And,
yes. Yeah. No, this one of those 364, yeah.
Well, that's it. But like a bottle of wine in Perth is going to cost me around about £14 when it costs £5 over here.
A decent bottle of wine. But you got to, yeah. But also in Perth, do you know what you should look forward to in Perth? Wines from Margaret River. And they're the best wines in the, some of the best wines in the world come from Margaret River. So you've got, they're worth the money. I used to, and they're worth the money. I used to drink. My parents are wine snobs. My parents they've got this ridiculous cellar and they know everything about wine and they're really snobby about it. But they love the Margaret River wines, some of the best in the world, and they're worth the money you pay for them.
Interesting. What's a bottle of wine cost in Poprad, Petra?
Anything from like €1 up to 20 or so. It depends. So, but the average, if you want a quality as well, then I would say around 10 euros.
Who's moving the microphone? Is that naughty Rachel?
No, I didn't touch mine.
It was that naughty Petra.
Me?
See, Eric told us to behave.
No.
And now you've been told off on air.
I haven't moved the microphone at all.
But it wasn't me. I bet he's here. I bet he's listening, isn't he? I bet he's in the background listening.
Oh, you got me. You got me.
Do you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry, because if so, we can start a new offshore radio station.
We can. We can. That's right. There's another good segue. You can take that story for that.
Oh, okay. Well, Google's
going to miss it out.
Google's. Well, I segued because I felt it was necessary.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot miss out this one.
Google's mystery barge has been ordered to leave San Francisco after it failed to have the correct building permits. This is really unfair. The four-story barge departed from Treasure Island. I like to say barge. Anyway, departed from Treasure Island on Thursday to comply with a regulatory order issued on January 31st. So Google said this odd-looking vessel, which consists of steel shipping containers, will be anchored in Stockton, which is somewhere near San Francisco.
I was in San Francisco last year, and it's about 80 miles up the East Coast, and what a lovely, wonderful place it is.
I really want to go there. So they said this barge will serve as an interactive technology center.
Yeah, why? What? It's filled with all sorts of bizarre things, isn't it? It's like an old tugboat, but a four-story tugboat.
It is, and when you go inside of it, it's going to become this magical world of technology.
Like Doctor Who's TARDIS.
Yeah, and yeah. Like, what's that convention that you always bang on about?
Where you step into a wardrobe and the world expands before you.
It's Narnia.
Narnia. I like Narnies. What are bananas like in Australia, Rachel?
Oh, they're delicious because they all come from Queensland in the tropics and they're really yummy.
Do they have
They're
spices?
Really sweet. Don't be ridiculous. That's just
sorry.
Being silly.
I'm so sorry.
Just stop being childish.
Right, well, I'm going to talk about no sex, please. We're British.
Well, that sounds about right.
Taxi drivers in Hartlepool.
Are you British?
So I'm British, you
Is
silly
Eric British?
One. Eric is an alien.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
We should be good, so I'm not going.
He's a hybrid. He's a person of no discernible nation.
He's a transient.
He's a what? You can't call him that.
He's a transient. So am I. I'm a transient. I'm all over Australia. I move all the time.
Oh, a transient. Sorry, I misunderstood.
He's a transient.
Sorry. Anyway, taxi drivers in Hartlepool, Hartlepool, which is in Britain, just up, like, it's down north, but they don't talk like me. They talk in this really weird way. So I've been told not to accept sexual favours from customers who are unable to pay their fares. This is a strange story. After a driver lost his taxi licence for having sex in his car, cabbies say warnings from the council has lifted the lid on a problem they face on a regular basis. Well, all I'd say is, you grant you are in Britain at this moment. Do not go to Hartlepool for a taxi.
No, because they will refuse you.
Yeah, and they'll refuse.
You know what I think is funny about this? That it's happened so often that they had to issue this warning, that it happens that often that they have to issue a warning.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? I just think it's amazing. Yeah.
Is it a poor place? Is it an impoverished place?
Hartlepool isn't very well off, I must admit. And it's an area where the people have been wrongly given a bit of a reputation. And I think this story actually does a disservice to Hartlepool. It's basically branding Hartlepool as an area where prostitutes and where people will prostitute their lives for fiscal gain. And I said fiscal, right? They'll do it for that. And I think that is a terrible way to describe it. However, if the council have done it, shouldn't the council be holding their heads down in shame over this?
I agree with you. Yes, they should. They're not helping this. They're not doing their civic duty by, you know, maligning this. It's just off. It's just off colour.
And well, it is.
You don't have to. If you're gonna do this, you would do it under the cloak of darkness and say, dudes, can you not do it?
That's what Hugh Grant did, and he got caught.
Yeah, true. But, you know, he's Hugh Grant. He's a bit silly. Look at his hair. Look, you're grounded. You're grounded, Lee. You're grounded.
Why?
For the rest
of your
life.
I've never managed to get up. I've been grounded all my life. I have been in so much trouble all my life.
Well, I tell you, this girl in New Jersey, whose name happens to be Rachel, is a bit of a little pillock, I must say. This young girl who lives in New Jersey, she goes to a really expensive Catholic private college. Yeah. She got into some trouble. She got involved with a boy, and then she used to get into trouble, and she'd miss curfew, and she'd go out and get drunk and wouldn't do her chores and blah, 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 blah. So when she turned 18, she had an argument with her parents. And they said, well, if you don't want to live by our rules, then, you know, get out of the house. So she did. And she said, I'm not coming back ever. So she went to live with some friends. And then in the meantime, she got accepted into several universities. And her parents said, and then went to her parents and said, now you have to pay my tuition for university. And they said, well, no, we don't, because you don't live here and you're over 18 and you didn't want to play by the rules. So that's your problem. So she, God love you, only in America, they're such a litigious bunch. She sued her parents.
Well, that's right. But is this wrong? Think about this. Let's think about this logically.
It's a dangerous precedent to set.
Well, like I say, let's think about it logically, right? Now, if you accept that in a situation of divorce or you're separated or whatever, the parents are expected to pay child support. They're expected to maintain that child. Now, this family have...
Until they're 18.
Yeah, how old is she?
18.
She just turned 18. I rest your case then, you're quite right.
And you know what? And the judge actually said that it's a dangerous precedent. She lost. And she's going to appeal, but she said, "Are we going to open the gates for 12-year-olds to sue for an Xbox, for 13-year-olds to sue for an iPhone?" And then she said, "We should be mindful of a potentially slippery slope." And I absolutely agree. I really think this girl was just, she's a spoilt little brat, is what.
Well, she was trying it on, wasn't she?
She really was, and she didn't win, and she needs to suck it up and just get on with it, because that's ridiculous.
Is there not a precedent, right, for the fact that, like, child support goes to the adult in the family. You know, the estranged parent pays child support, and the adult gets to administer it, and they can basically do what they want with it. But in these sort of circumstances, maybe at 18, you know, she was just a little bit old for it. But isn't in these circumstances, don't you think that children should have a right to sue the parents if the parents are not supporting them?
If they are doing the right thing and their parents are doing the wrong thing, absolutely. You know, get your act together, grown-ups. You're the grown-ups. Now get your act together. But she was knowingly and you know, touting this, you know. Yeah, she willfully, she was being a naughty girl and disobeying her parents, which, and the rules that she was being asked to follow weren't that, you know, uncomprehensible. It was, you know, keep your room tidy, do your homework, and please don't go out and get obliterated drunk and come home at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're asking you not to do these things. She couldn't handle it, so she left.
I understand. You're a naughty girl, Rachel.
Yeah, you're a naughty girl.
Miss Canning. Yeah, not like our Rachel. Not like Hot Pants. She's not a naughty girl. She's
I'm
a
really
good
not.
Girl. No, she isn't. I've heard Rob say. Right, so anyway, let's move on to what we have described as the worst PR stunt of the week, linking so-called research to ciggies. And this is a story about a high-protein diet. Apparently, if you have a high-protein diet during middle age, it will make you, it give you twice as much chance of dying early. I don't see how you can die early if you've reached middle age. I think you can't die early. And you die in the middle, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's an oxymoron.
Exactly. No, we're back to him again. Right. So, yeah. So you're more likely to die of cancer as well. Well, what a strange thing for the University of Southern California to do, to say that how a protein-rich diet is more dangerous than smoking 20 fags a day. Now, you smoke, don't you, Rachel, which is something you should be ashamed of.
I smoke a little, yes.
You smoke, how many do you smoke a day?
Five, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
I generally don't smoke.
You wonder why I bother, really, don't you?
That's it. I generally don't smoke. I'll go for months without smoking, and then I'll just have a dabble. But once I'm dabbling, I'm smoking like loads. So really, is it?
Rob smokes more than 30 a day. Rob smokes more than 30 easy.
Is that bad? I suppose that is bad, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to drop dead probably tomorrow.
Oh, right. Well, tell him to do it because it's Women's Day.
Right, and then he will be in the middle of his life pretty much, so it's about right on track.
But yeah, it's just a strange thing for a university, isn't it, to try the scaremongering tactics of saying that a high-protein diet is more dangerous than smoking.
Research and stuff into this sort of stuff kind of really sort of grinds my gears from time to time because they keep changing their mind as to what's bad for us. Remember back a few years ago, eggs were getting a bad rap and then they were okay, and now it seems, because they're high in protein, it seems they're not again, and now that means that chicken and fish are bad for you if that's all you eat. I mean,
fish.
And then they said that carbs are the enemy, and we now know that you've got to have some complex carbohydrates in your diet. Do you know what I think? I think that everything in moderation is perfectly fine, and you have to have sensible moderation in your diet with the occasional sneaky treats, especially when you're getting to the middle or the twilight of your life, and a bit of exercise, and try and be as healthy as you can. Don't listen to these fools trying to terrify you with their Soylent Green stories.
Soylent Green, that was a good film. It wasn't actually, it was a rubbish film, wasn't it, actually?
It was really awful, but the story was pretty scary.
That's right, yeah. But no, I'll tell you, I, in a way I agree with, but I have to take task with this doing everything in moderation. I couldn't live a life of moderation, could you?
Well, no, some people can't. I can.
You can. You can be moderate.
I have to. I have a medical condition that requires me to be moderate. So you know, I have to, and I've learned how to do it, and I'm fine. Rob can't live in a moderate way. He doesn't. No, he's not. He's like you. He's all in or not in at all.
Well, so about you, Petra, can you be moderate in your life?
No.
Bear in mind, I've known you a long time.
How well do you know me?
I wouldn't say I know you. No, right. Anyway, so yes, so you can't live a moderate life either.
No.
Is that the end of it?
Yep.
You get control of yourselves, people. What's wrong with you? You animals, what's going on? I wish Uncle Eric was here because he's lost a lot of weight.
You know, Amis is perfect. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I watch my weight. I eat healthily.
And that's being immoderate, is it?
I exercise.
I think that's being moderate. I do. I really do. I think
that's moderate life.
What I'm saying is that if I think it's to me, not being moderate is like I'm going to eat an entire 500-gram block of chocolate every single day is not being moderate. That's just that's asking for a diabetic coma. Mm. So, you know.
But what about if you drink a bottle of wine a day? Is that moderate?
Well, I don't think you should. I think the 3 standard glasses rule is a kind of a bit of a rule of thumb. But if you,
I just read yesterday, it should be a glass for a woman and 2 for a man. And I'm thinking, yeah. Why?
But most people won't stop there. But I don't drink, so you know, I can't judge that.
Yeah, but why men 2 and women 1?
Well, because
their metabolisms are different to ours, and they're bigger, and they metabolize it differently, so they're allowed to, apparently. I mean, I say do what you want, but if you just, you know, if you want to, if you get scared by research like this, don't get scared by research like this, dear listener.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get
just
scared.
Do what you feel moderate. Like. Yeah, listen to your body.
Yes, yes, it's true, though. Your body sings to you. It sings its heart song. You should listen.
That's a beautiful way to put it. You almost moved me to tears then.
Oh.
So lovely. Yeah. Well, listen.
I think we have time for one more story. So
I was just going to do this one because I think this is a fascinating story and probably in its own way the best story of the week because it's so scary. But last, I think it was 2 nights ago, Britain... sorry, I'll start that again, right? 2 nights ago,
yeah,
an asteroid, right, the size of 3 double-decker buses came so close to the Earth that it actually passed between us and the moon. Now,
like E.T. and Elliot.
Exactly, exactly. How scary is that?
It's brilliant. It's great that it didn't hit us.
Well, that's it, but how close is that? There was a film on this weekend, which was awful, awful film called Meteor, which was really strange because it was about comets and asteroids, so they called it Meteor, which didn't make any sense at all, right? And it was about the same thing, but the basic premise of this film was that this meteor, this asteroid, would obliterate the Earth, and that to me sounds like we came very, very close to exactly the reality of that problem.
Yeah, scooch to the right and we would have been in trouble.
Yeah, no, that is scary. Anyway, listen, I think that's about it. I think we're going to have to go, aren't we?
Yes, we have to go.
Yeah, sorry, Eric. I hope that show, what we've just done, right, was sensible and grown up enough for you.
Yeah. Do you think it's up to his standard?
No.
I think it's just a new benchmark for Eric to try and reach.
Yeah, reach for the skies, Eric.
Yes, reach for the sky, Eric. Ha!
Okay, so I'd rather say bye for now to everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.